The epistle appointed to be read for this, the 14th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brethren, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, so that you do not do what you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are immorality, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, witchcrafts, enmities, contentions, jealousies, anger, quarrels, factions, parties, envies, murders, drunkenness, carousings, and such like. And concerning these I warn you, as I have warned you, that they also do such things, those who do such things will not attain the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is charity, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, long-suffering, mildness, faith, modesty, continency, and chastity. Against such things there is no law. And they who belong to Christ have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Matthew. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will stand by the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not be anxious for your life, what you shall eat, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life a greater thing than the food, and the body than the clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are not you of much more value than they? But which of you, by being anxious about it, can add to his stature a single cubit? And as for clothing, why are you anxious? Consider how the lilies of the field grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which flourishes today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what are we to put on?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your Father knows that you need all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these things shall be given you besides." Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, this morning, actually, I will not spend too much time here at the pulpit, but I wish to merely emphasize or point out certain things that are in the bulletin that I think need to be emphasized for you. First of all, this morning's instruction in the bulletin is a little lengthy. And I wish to tell you that some of you might ask, as is pointed out in the bulletin itself, why is he telling us all these things? I know that all of you come here on a regular basis, and you know already all most of the things that are pointed out in the bulletin itself. But our bulletins are sent out in various places, many places as a matter of fact, throughout the country and even in other places in the world. And some of the things that are said in our bulletin don't directly apply to us. But I do include them, or we do include them in the bulletin for the sake of those who are away from us. So that's why certain things appear in today's instruction, certainly will obviously appear to you as one of these that we speak of. Wednesday of this week, we are going to consecrate our altar. As I have said to you before, this is a once-in-a-lifetime occasion, certainly for a place like here. And in practically all churches, practically speaking, not all, but in practically all churches, the altars are never consecrated because they can't be. For an altar to be consecrated, it has to fulfill certain very definite specifications. It has to be a permanent altar. It has to have other specifications that are absolutely necessary for such to go into it. And the consecration, as you will see, those of you who will be able to come, I know that not all of you can come, I'm aware of that, but those of you that will come will see how tremendously complicated and difficult, and how many exorcisms and blessings and this and that and the other things that will have to be done to this altar for it to be consecrated. But you might ask, well, why are you saying Mass on this altar if it has not been consecrated? Well, as in all these other churches that have these altars that are not consecrated, in the middle of the altar is the altar stone, usually a granite or marble or some stone, that is stone, that is consecrated as much as this altar here will be consecrated. These stones, for example, if we did these altars here, we would have all these stones on a table, and we go and we do the same thing more or less to all of these stones collectively. Because on this stone shall rest the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And because of that, this stone has to have upon it every possible blessing and exorcism that could be thought of. So this altar here, the top of this altar is one huge granite stone. All has to be attached to the building. It isn't something you can pick up and carry around with you wherever you go. So the consecration of the altar in church is a major item and a very important item. And not, as I said, not all churches are blessed with this. At the same time, we should not be thinking about what other churches have or do not have. The only thing that we should be concerned about is that this church, our church, has got a consecrated altar. That's all that should matter in our thinking. Anybody else, how they do it, if they've done it, when they've done it, whatever, 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 is simply of no consequence. The only thing that is consequential to us is that we have a consecrated altar. That does not put us a cut above anybody. We should be very careful about this, that anything we do, no matter what, does not put us a cut above anybody. Remember what we talked about last week? I haven't forgot about it. And I hope that we haven't forgotten about it either. So we here try to present, we try here to teach, we try here to put into practice the things that belong to God in the way that we know, to the best of our ability, the way they are done, as God would want us to do them. I do not want to go into last week's sermon, but except for this much, in that we did underline the nothingness that is within us. During this past week, I had the occasion to speak to someone who was here last week, and this person made a very wonderful observation. And the observation from that person is this, that we, all of us, no matter who we are or where we are, all of us, all of us, all of us, all of us, are so completely indoctrinated and imbued with the spirit of, and this person used the term, Madison Avenue, which fits pretty well, the marketplace. We're so completely filled with the marketplace and everything we do that we, though we know that this is not the proper thing to do, we know this is not the proper attitude to take, but as soon as we leave the atmosphere that pervades the otherworldliness in us, as soon as we go back to the air that we breathe in worldliness. And we have to be careful about that. And in here, we beg that we keep with us all day long and all week long the instructions that we receive. And in our bulletins, that is what is presented to us as we gradually begin to learn what it is that we have to do. All along, we have talked and given some rather, I say, weak instructions, though they have been consistent, but consistently weak, that is concerning our home altars, our home chapels, our monastic home chapels. We are going to, in the future days, we are, and in our bulletins, continue with this present series of instructions in line with it. We are going to go back and begin to emphasize anew and more strongly and more pointedly the monastic home chapel and its importance, especially in our day. The monastic home chapel, our little altars, and many of us have the little altars, but I fear that in some cases that our home altars that we have brought home with us and have set up very nicely, and they're very beautiful, and they're very well kept, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, but I fear that they have become ornaments of the household. And they are probably, more than likely, willy-nilly just mixed in with the other ornaments that adorn the house. Our home altars have to be a lot more than that, and we will go into that as we go on. We are here speaking of a place in your house, but as we start getting ready for it, a place in your house that is sacred, a place in your house that is not part of the rest of the house, where we can go and say our prayers, where we can go and feel a closeness that we need to feel, and that there's nothing in there that will bring our mind and keep us anchored to the world. So these are things that we are going to stress. Also in our bulletin today, we have a little historical sketch concerning Our Lady of the Most Holy Rosary. And it's a very interesting little sketch. And I ask you to read it and become quite familiar with it, because that is the celebration that we shall have in October, that we shall give honor and glory, rather honor and praise to the Blessed Mother and honor and glory to God. What we're going to do in October is not to be so much looked upon as a day of vast celebration and beauty. We know it's going to be nice. We know we're going to like it. We always do. But that's not the purpose behind it. The purpose behind it is penance. Penance, prayer, prayer, mortification, 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 more mortification. All things that the world does not know, all things that the world does not comprehend, all things that the world does not want to be involved with. And that's the spirit that we get outside from the marketplace. We have to fight that. We know it's wrong. All of us know it's wrong. All of us complain about it. All of us complain about it. But none of us really change, do we? And when we are in the midst of anybody else, we immediately try to blend in so that whoever it is that we're talking to does not notice. We must not let them notice that we are a little bit different. Just a little bit. Not a cut above. Not anyone in this house today, beginning with me, not anyone in this house today is better than anybody else on earth. But for the grace of God, where would I be? And where would you be? So, my beloved people, also in today's bulletin is a list of appointments, assignments for the celebration itself. If any of you who has been appointed is unable to fill his appointment, please let me know immediately so that I can arrange other assignments. So, and I ask you, please, on that day, I hope that we will all be ready to give the Blessed Mother her due. If there is ever to be any sanity kept in our world, in our lives, it's going to have to come by way of Mary. There's no other way. And before I conclude, we must pray for all those today who might be hurt by the storm that we all know about. I think it is easy for us to not be too terribly concerned about the effects of the storm, provided as long as it stays on that side of the fence. So we're concerned that it is serious, but you know, when it begins to start approaching our side of the fence, perhaps we become a little bit more concerned. Let us pray for our own welfare. Let us pray for the welfare of all those countless thousands and hundreds of thousands of people that have left home, who do not know what's going to happen, whether they will have a house or a home when they return, or whether they will be injured or whatever. Let us pray for them. Let us pray for ourselves, that God will protect us physically and spiritually. Spiritual protection, my blessed people. And I would like to give you all a special blessing for protection at this time, that God will protect not only us in here, but all those whom we love most. Please kneel.